Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 11 this morning, would you please? John chapter 11. I'll read several verses of Scripture that, just to get the kind of the title of the message, then we'll be looking at the text. In verse number 4, well, let's read verse 1 through 4 in chapter 11. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. If you're able, let's stand. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. And here's what God's put on my heart, but for the glory of God. I want to preach today for a little while on to God be the glory. The Word of God said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, if you jump over with me to verse number 40, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Now jump down, if you will, to verse number 23 in chapter number 12. And Jesus answered and saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, that where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Father, thank you this morning for the reading of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, now that as we endeavor, Lord, to share the message that you put on our heart, God, that we would approach it with open hearts and open minds. And God, that you would speak to our hearts this Lord's day. And God, that you might get the glory in this service. You might get the glory out of our lives. And God, that you might bless us with your presence here today. God, I pray today for the salvation of those that don't yet know you. I ask you, God, just to do for them what you did for me. Would you finger around that heart, Lord, and stir in that heart? Help them to see their need. Help them, Lord, to get past any fear and just to receive Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. To God be the glory. That's what I want to speak to you about today. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, and we'll come back to John chapter number 11. The book of Ephesians. And the passage is found in verse number, in chapter number 3. And we'll look here. There's that word family again. Look at verse 13. We'll read verse 13 through 21. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I'm going to remind you of something today. There's a saying going around. You'll hear it once in a while. You'll hear even people in the news media. They'll say, we're all God's children. And I'm not fussing, but you better pay attention. We are all God's creation, but we are not all God's children. To be a child of God, you must experience a new birth. There must come a time in your life when you understand your need of a Savior. When you agree with God that you're the sinner. I like what Brother Danny Sykes said years ago. I'll never forget when I heard him say it. He said, when I met God, I was good at sinning, but he was better at saving than I was at sinning. And he was able to admit that he was a sinner. and come to the Savior, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So you can't join the family of God. You must be born into the family of God. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. Well, that's what this generation needs more than anything. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I don't even know how to pray about what's going on in Ukraine, really. I don't know what to ask God for. But I'm going to tell you something. God knows what they need, even before I ask. I just know my heart is broke. Watch what the Word of God said. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, here's why God wants to answer our prayer. Unto him be glory in the church. I said, unto him be glory in the church. To him be the glory throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. To God be the glory. I want to give you several things in the story here today of the story that includes the raising again from the dead, Lazarus. The story that it shows the compassion of Jesus for this family, for Mary and for Martha and for Lazarus. I know it's a familiar story, but I hope that God will teach us something from this story today. And I believe that sometimes it's the simple truths that we overlook. I'll give you an example. When the Word of God said here that, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That's in verse number 5. Can I tell you something? The Lord spoke to my heart as I looked at this. He did love them. But they weren't the only ones that he loved. Beloved, let me tell you something. In this whole story right here, Jesus was looking on the other side of the grave. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Look at verse 45. The Word of God said, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. We might see somebody saved today in this service, but I want you to know that God is looking beyond that person's salvation and seeing the influence, Brother Steve. I talked to the young people this morning about the days when you were teaching young people and how that it breaks your heart that not all of them went on with God, that some of them went away. They didn't retain and maintain that integrity that they once had. But beloved, listen, Jesus knew that it wasn't just going to be Lazarus getting some help. Glory to God. That night he saved me. He knew it wasn't just going to be Brother Vinoy getting some help. But down through the ages, somebody else was going to get some help. Because it wasn't just him that he loved, but those that he would come in contact with through the years he loved. To God be the glory. Several things. Number one, to God be the glory. Jesus knows ahead of time what is needed. Beloved, I want to tell you something right now. There may be something today that will take you by surprise, but there's not one thing that will take him by surprise. When Martha and Mary sent for Jesus and they said, Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They were a little bit surprised that Jesus didn't get there as what they thought would be on time. But I believe with all of my heart, Jesus knew ahead of time what was needed. And it was more important that Lazarus die than Lazarus not die. God was going to get more glory out of Lazarus dying and being risen from the dead than he would out of Lazarus being healed of that sickness. Jesus knows ahead of time what is needed. That ought to bless you this morning. That ought to give you a great deal of peace in your heart this morning. That, beloved, Jesus knows ahead of time. Beloved, listen, before the war in Ukraine ever started, He knows what's needed. He knows what's needed in this world that we live in. He knows what's needed in our country. He knows what's needed in our churches. He knows what's needed in our homes. He knows what's needed. To God be the glory. He knows what's needed. Secondly, to God be the glory, Jesus loves us. You say, Pastor, that is so simple. You ever get over it and you won't be good for nothing. I'm telling you, beloved, the Word of God said here that He loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And I'll tell you something, beloved, listen. It's one thing to know that Jesus loves you, but it's another thing to live like you know that Jesus loves you. The Word of God in verse number 3, the Word of God said, He whom thou lovest is sick. In verse number 5, the Word of God said, Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. In verse number 35 and 36, the Word of God said, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, Behold how He loved him. I'm telling you, beloved, they saw the evidence of compassion in the life of Christ for Lazarus and for Martha. And for Mary. Beloved, for God so loved the world. That's a tremendous statement. But when you put your name right there and you make it personal, for God so loved Larry Lilly. Had he been the only one, he would have bled. He would have died. What love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him. For we shall see him as he is. I believe with all of my heart, the day that you can read or quote or hear it read, John 3:16, and it doesn't stir your heart, it's the day you ought to get on your face somewhere and say, Oh God, bring revival in my soul. Beloved, you and I have not done one thing to deserve His love, but in His grace and in His mercy, He loved them and He loves us. And He's never met anyone that He didn't love. I'm reminded of the story of the rich young ruler. We were teaching in Sunday school about Job. Job was a very prosperous man, but Job's prosperity did not turn, his blessings did not turn his heart away from the blesser. Have you ever heard somebody say this? Some people can handle money and some people can't. How many's ever heard that? Some people, if you give them $1 million, it would turn their heart away from God. Other people can take the $1 million and do great things for God. Amen. And for God's kingdom and for God's glory. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, don't ever let the things of this world, the prosperity, turn your heart away from God. Remember the rich young ruler? Jesus, the Word of God said, beholding him, loved him. He said, now, Pastor, Jesus didn't know how that was going to go. I beg your pardon. Jesus knew exactly how that was going to go. He turned his back on Jesus. Why? And he went away. Jesus said, go sell all you have and give to the poor and come follow me. And the Word of God said he went away sorrowful because he was very rich. Every day, on a day like today, it's Sunday in America. Services like this. Invitations will be given. Some will come to the Lord. Some will go away from the Lord. But Brother Steve, they'll all be loved. They'll be loved whether they're going that way or coming this way. They'll be loved. That man was going away. He, beholding him, loved him. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. He's got his eye on you, and he loves you. He's got his eye on your family, and he loves you. He knows what's needed. To God be the glory. He knows ahead of time. To God be the glory. He loves us. To God be the glory. Number 3, He's always on time. Jesus is never late. There may be, excuse me, there may be times when we deem him to be late or when we think he's late. But never, 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 ever is Jesus late. The word of God said here in verse number 21, then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now what she's saying in essence is, Lord, you're too late. And if you're not careful, you'll listen to the devil. The devil will tell you it's too late. Too late for anything to change in your marriage. Too late for anything to change in your life. Too late for anything to happen, beloved. Listen, with a sickness or with an illness. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Jesus is always on time. He's not too late. I want you to know, beloved, listen, I found out a long time ago, he wants me to operate on his time. He's not interested in operating on my time. I love a good microwave. We hardly waste anything. Amen. You say, Pastor, you're tight. No, I'm not tight, but I don't waste it, beloved. Listen, I had a bowl of potato soup last night. That potato soup was made 2 days ago. I couldn't tell it. Amen. If you want to make potato soup really good, grill your hot dog on the grill and cut it up in it. Amen. One guy said to me one time, said, Pastor, we wouldn't mind you preaching at 12:30 if you quit talking about food. We live in a microwave society. We want to pray now. And there have been times when my prayer was answered before I got it out. But it's not normally that way. Normally the Bible teaches us to wait on the Lord. And again I say, wait on the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. The most precious things in life are worth waiting for. The Word of God said here, the Bible said, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. Mary sat still in the house, and Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Look at verse 32. Mary says the same thing. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now listen, I don't know this for sure. I'm not going to speak where the Bible doesn't speak. But I'm going to tell you, I have a little idea. I have a little idea that Martha and Mary had been talking. And that they had been saying to each other something like this. You know, if Jesus would have just got here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus loved him and he loved Jesus. And if Jesus could have just got here, I could see Martha and Mary have, they both say the same thing to Jesus. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. They both deemed him to be too late, but he is always on time. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I want you to see this. Jesus is going to teach us along the way. Look at verse 40 through verse number 42. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And they took away the stone, the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, you say, Pastor, what is Jesus teaching them? I want you to see this. Don't miss it, please. He's teaching them that even he, being the Son of God, was dependent upon another. Beloved, God doesn't want us to be independent of him. He wants us to depend on him and to trust him. Watch what he says here. He says, Father, I thank thee. He's speaking out loud. He's not speaking out loud, beloved, for a show. It's a teaching moment. He's teaching, beloved, these ladies, Martha and Mary and the others of the Jews that have gathered, that there's a Father in heaven that you can depend on. Watch what he said. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. I'll tell you what brings glory to God when God teaches us, beloved, that we cannot do it alone. Without Him, we can do nothing. And beloved, listen, if we would trust Him, if we would depend on Him, I believe that others will believe on Him. To God be the glory. To God be the glory, Jesus calls us. I want you to look in verse number 28. And when she had said, so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Watch this. I thought this was good. Not only is Jesus calling the living, He's calling for Mary here, but He's calling the dead. I want to remind you of something. It's been sung about in song this morning in our service. There's a day coming, honey, when Jesus is going to call not just the living, but the dead. Watch what the Word of God said in verse number 43. And when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he, beloved, listen, let me just say this. You say, Pastor, I don't know why Jesus had to get loud. I don't know either. I just know it said He did. I remember preaching in a prison one time, and when I got done preaching, there was a Muslim imam. He was sitting in his office way over yonder, and they have cinder block walls in there. And I don't know, maybe he had me on speaker listening to what I said. I don't know. They do that sometimes, trying to trap you. They're just daring you to say something that's out of order so they can get you kicked out of the prison. But anyway, he said, I don't know why you have to get up and holler. Boy, did I bite my tongue. Brother Roger Napper, he was in charge of the team. And I didn't want to cause him any problems. But your pastor had to bite his tongue. As we left the prison, I told Brother Napper, I said, you know what I wanted to say? He said, it's untelling what you wanted to say. I said, this is what I wanted to say. You wouldn't like it if I'll do this in honor of the president, whispered about my Jesus. Did y'all hear what I said? He wouldn't have liked it if I whispered about my Jesus. It wasn't the method that was bothering him. It was the message that was bothering him. Jesus, He calls the living and He calls the dead. When He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice. I heard His call when I was living. And if something happens, I leave this world by way of the grave. I promise you I'll hear His call from that grave. Amen. The Word of God teaches us that He calls us. In verse number 44, not only does Jesus call us, to God be the glory, but Jesus frees us. The Word of God said, and I don't know why I don't think about something sometime, but I saw something, I wonder. Look at verse 44. And he that was dead, that's Lazarus, came forth bound hand and foot. Now, Brother Steve, you think your pastor's crazy. I don't know if he floated out of there. Or I don't know how he came out of there, and I really don't care. I just know he came out. I don't know how I'm going to come out of there. Hey, man! But I know I'm going to come out. Every born-again child of God is going to hear His voice and come out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. How many of y'all think that, listen, how many's ever heard the term loose living? How many's ever heard a term like that or living loosely, loose living? I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus didn't loose Lazarus to go live loose. Jesus loosed Lazarus to go serve Him. And Jesus didn't loose you and I so that we could be a servant of sin or a servant of self. But he loosed us that we might be a servant of the Most High God. Amen. Jesus calls us and he frees us. And then I saw that Jesus frees others. Look in verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Look at verse 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Brother Gary, this tells me something about how these people lived. Beloved, let me tell you something right now. You can go, and sometimes it's because all their families died off. All their friends have died off. They've outlived them all, and there's not many. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you can go to a funeral, and they ain't many because they've lived in such a way they didn't have many friends in this world. And even family don't want to come. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, beloved, I believe there was many here with Mary and Martha that wanted to comfort them and wanted to be with them because they had seen the kindness of God and the love of God in this family's heart and in their life. I don't know about you, but that's the way I'd like to live. Look in chapter 12 and verse number 9. The Word of God said, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Many, many, many believed on him. Jesus, he did love Lazarus. He did love Martha, and he did love Mary. But Jesus knew on the other side of this great event, there were going to be others that were going to find help because of what they saw. You know what I wish? You think about this for just a moment. I wish everybody that heard Jesus say with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! I wish everybody would have said, glory to God. But they didn't. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Look at verse 46. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees. Beloved, you can say whatever you want to, but you could not have lived in this generation and not known that the Pharisees had it in for Jesus. They left that great resurrection scene, Lazarus raised from the dead, and it was in their heart to run and tell the troublemakers what they had seen. By the way, beloved, the drunks hardly ever give Jesus a hard time. The drug addicts hardly ever give Jesus a hard time. The prostitutes hardly ever give Jesus a hard time. You know who's giving Jesus a hard time? Religious people. People's got something, Brother Larry, on their lips that they don't have in their heart. Religious people. When the word religion is used in the Bible, it's only used one time in a positive sense, and that's over there in the book of James. About taking care of the widows. Let him, any seem to be religious among you, let him bridle his tongue and take care of the widows. The rest of the time, beloved, it's vain religion. Vain religion. Jesus frees others. I want to ask you a question. When they went their way to the Pharisees and they told them what things Jesus had done, do you reckon Jesus knew what they were doing? Can I tell you something that we don't think about often? Even when things aren't going the way that we think they should go, just like right there, God is still getting the glory. You say, Pastor, I don't understand what you mean. It's being set up. If you look at the verses, they gathered the chief priests, the Pharisees, the council. They said, what do we? This man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it's expedient for us that one should die for the people. It's all being set up. that Christ can go to Calvary and give his life. To God be the glory. The last thing that I want you to see in the message today is that Jesus receives our worship. Look at verse 12, chapter 12, excuse me, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there may be... By the way, let me just say this. I don't know why God's interjecting this right here. This is something that's become common, especially in the prison system and some of the teachings of Islam. They'll say Jesus didn't really die. He just swooned on the cross. Let me give you something. Read over there where I was a while ago in verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come. The Son of Man shall be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat shall fall into the ground. And what's that word? The good shepherd giveth his what for the sheep? His life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And Jesus shed his precious blood. By the way, beloved, when the songbook says spilled, you ought to just put a line through that and write shed right there. You spill something by accident. He shed his blood on purpose for you and for me. But I want you to see this. It's gardening time. I told my wife the other day, we were up at the Rural King in Bristol. I saw the seed rack. I said, honey, maybe we should get some seeds. And she's got another place she likes to buy them. You know how women are. I'll talk about her because she's in children's church. Without fear of a black eye, Brother James. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can take that grain of corn and you can lay it in a window and you ain't going to get no corn. But you can take that grain of corn and you can drop it in the ground. And that grain of corn will die. And you know what happens? Life comes out of that death. Jesus is telling us, beloved, he didn't swoon on the cross. 3 days. In the belly, in the heart of the earth. The Bible said Christ died for our sin. According to the Scripture. You got any other book that teaches otherwise, you got the wrong book. The Gospel. How that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. And that He was buried. And that He rose again the third day. Jesus receives our worship. Look at it with me in chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, and he had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and there they made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Can you imagine this scene? Can you imagine the gratefulness, Brother Steve, in Lazarus' heart, that Jesus was not only able, but willing to get him out of that grave and get him out of those grave clothes. And they said he's been dead 4 days. By this time he stinketh. Can you imagine sitting there with Jesus at the table? Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. The reason I stopped and said that this morning, he's done the same thing for you and I. We were dead in trespasses and sin. And God gave us life. That life that's in Christ. You say, Pastor, well, what should we do? We're to sit at the table with him. We're to sup with him. There ought to be a grateful spirit that, God, you didn't leave me in my sin. You didn't leave me in that cesspool. You didn't leave me in that grave. You spoke to my heart. You called me. You gave me enough grace to respond to the call of God. The word of God said, made him a supper. Martha served. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard. Listen to me. There's thoughts running through my mind that I've never thought about before. I'm going to tell you something. I don't own one thing, not one, that's so precious that I wouldn't give it to sit down with my dad this afternoon. Have one more meal together. He's like, Pastor, where did you get that in the scripture? Mary's got her brother back. There's some griping that this alabaster box of ointment, it's precious and it's worth a lot of money. And why would you waste it? That's what the world's saying to these young people. You're wasting your time in Sunday school. You're wasting your time in that Bible. You're wasting your time in church. I'll tell you, if you're spending your life for Jesus, you're not wasting your time. Judas said, why wasn't it sold? Oh, he's so pious, ain't he? And the Word of God said in the same text, he's a thief. Think about that. He was numbered among the 12, but he was a thief. He was a betrayer of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. I'm just going to stop and make a statement. You can be in the number, not be in the family. If you're saved, that don't bother you one bit. And if you ain't saved, it needs to bother you. You can be in the number and not be in the family. A lot of people think they just get in the right crowd, they'll go with the crowd. I'm going to tell you, it's an individual thing. The Word of God said here, she took a pound of ointment, very costly. She anointed the feet of Jesus. I got to thinking about Brother Don on the other side of the grave. We're going to fall at his feet too. And we're going to thank him. Brother Stephen, like we ain't never thanked him before in our life. It's going to, listen, we're walking by faith now. Wait till we see home. I tell you what's better than seeing home, seeing him. Wait till we see him. What a blessing. Jesus receives worship. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. To God be the glory. God wants us to give him glory in our homes. He wants us to give him glory in the house of God. He wants us to give him glory in our hearts. Jesus knows ahead of time what's needed. He loves us. He's always on time. He's in the business of teaching us, calling us, freeing others. And this morning, Jesus, he desires, he deserves, and he has determined this thing called worship. One day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Christ, the glory of God the Father. Why wouldn't you just bow now and say, Lord, I don't want to wait till then when it won't help me, when it won't change my destiny, when it won't change my heart. But now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Right now, Lord, I want to agree with you that I'm the sinner. You're the Savior. And I want to trust you, believing that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose again the third day according to the Scripture, that you're coming again. I want to be ready. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. To God be the glory.